Hey everybody, Scott Burnside back for another edition of Two Man Advantage, the podcast. I'm feeling a bit rusty, Pierre. We had that time off, a little bit of break after the unusual end of the hockey season and draft and free agency. So, listen, I always need you, but if it looks like I'm going to go off the rails, I need you to really step into the breach. Are you okay with me?
I am. I will tell you, I thought by the time we get back for our next podcast that we'd the NHL and NHLPA would be putting the finishing touches on the deal for the 2021 season. Alas, we're going to have to wait probably at least another week for that, let's hope. But that's okay. We got plenty to talk about.
That's right, and we will circle back to it. But I got to tell you, I was so excited, A, that you and I are going to chat, but, and I will say this, I'll sound like Eddie Haskell, but even more excited that we are able to chat with Kendall Coyne Schofield, the new player development coach and youth hockey growth specialist for the Chicago Blackhawks. And just before we started the tape, Kendall, I was bemoaning the fact that you and I aren't sort of sitting across a table from each other because we've done it the last two All-Star games in San Jose and last year in St. Louis. But thanks for coming to hang out with us and congrats on your new gig.
Thank you so much, Scott. And hi, Pierre. I know I wish we were in person. I think we all do, right? Because that would mean our world is healthy and safe and we can return to what we know is normal. And we would be at an All-Star weekend maybe in the next 3 months together, right? But that's not the case. But thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's get going with the news of the day. And if we meet at All-Star or if we meet during the playoffs, and in fact, I'm looking at you with your Chicago Blackhawks cap on. So that's kind of you will have narrowed your focus, I'm guessing, pretty much in terms of NHL allegiances. But maybe just walk us through how you came to this position and what exactly are you going to be doing with the Blackhawks in what is a groundbreaking role for you?
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't start out by saying growing up in the Chicagoland area, that from the first time I put my first pair of hockey skates on when I was 3 years old, 22 miles southwest of the United Center in Orland Park, Illinois, I've always rooted for this team. I've always wanted to be on this team. And the last 48 hours have been a whirlwind. And it feels like I'm on this team. I'm a part of this team. And I'm going to be working to help this team be successful. And as a competitor, as an elite athlete myself, there's nothing more fun and energizing than being able to do that. Over the last 6-7 years, I have been working as a community liaison with the Chicago Blackhawks. And that has been from everything from Chicago Blackhawks youth hockey camps to the inception of the Golden Coins girls program for girls age 6 to 12, which we developed last year, to working the Little Blackhawks, the Gold Clinics, going into Chicago public schools and introducing the game of hockey to so many other things. So I've always felt a part of this organization, whether it was as a fan or a community liaison or as a friend to so many within the organization, as this is my hometown team. But for things to finally be formalized and to have this role and to be a part of the hockey side of the organization is so exciting because I know I have so much to give. I've been in this game my entire life, and to work and to help develop the prospects who are hoping to one day play for the Blackhawks and hoist that Stanley Cup is really a dream come true.
What's your phone been like in terms of reaction around the hockey world, Kendall? I mean, I know when I saw the headline, I thought to myself, again, here's another important moment for the game. And I think of Cammy Granato being hired by Seattle, Haley Wickenheiser in a similar role in yours with the Hawks, with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think this hopefully will become the norm that you look at great hockey players, regardless of their background, regardless of their gender, and you want to hire really good people. And I think that's happened here. What's the week been like for you in terms of reaction?
Yeah, that's a great point, Pierre, is that we want it to become the norm. The fact that you could list a few moments that you remember, on one hand means there's not enough, right? We want this to be repetitive. We want this to be just normal, right? We want to get to that point in the game of hockey, but it does take organizations like the Chicago Blackhawks, like the move the Seattle Kraken made with Cammy and the Toronto Maple Leafs made with Haley Wickenheiser. And I know there's others out there, but it takes those groundbreaking moments and believers in the women to do exactly what they're there to do, and that's to help the organization win and get better. But what has my phone been like the last few hours and few days? It's been a little bit overwhelming, but I think it's not only because history was made, a barrier was broken. It's because the people know how much I love and how passionate I am about the development aspect of the game. And if there's a common denominator in the two roles that I'll be doing, it's development. It's developing the prospects and it's developing the game at the grassroots level. And then to be able to do it in my hometown that I try and give back so much to, that I try to inspire and get more and more kids in the Chicago and the Chicagoland area into the game, it can't be a more perfect fit.
Kendall, you and I first crossed paths, as Pierre alluded to, at All-Star in San Jose 2 years ago. Of course, stepping in for Nathan MacKinnon when he wasn't able to go in the fastest skater competition. And then a year ago in St. Louis with the terrific 3-on-3 exhibition. I'm curious, just following up on Pierre's question about your phone, have you heard from a lot of NHL players, or can you describe, you know, who has been reaching out? Are there people who've reached out to you since your new post was announced that maybe surprised you or were maybe especially meaningful to you?
Oh, there have been a lot, and I think there have been so many within the hockey community, whether it's players, current players, former players, coaches, broadcasters, that have reached out, and whether it's saying congratulations, saying good luck, saying, hey, if you ever have needed any advice, if you ever are looking to pick my brain about something, like, don't be afraid to call. There's been quite a few players. One of my former Northeastern Huskies, Josh Manson, reached out the other day. I've heard from Connor Carrick to all the guys I skated on the ice with just the other day, whether Vinny Hinostroza, Ryan Hartman, the list kind of goes on. And I think we all saw Patrick Kane welcome me to the organization. And I obviously heard from Cammy and Ray. And I think one thing too is, I don't know if people saw, but just the amount of players that I've skated with and against in the women's game, we're all extremely excited and supportive. And for me, that means a lot, because I hope it shows them they can do this too, no matter where they're at, what organization they're affiliated with. But there's a lot more room for them to be a part of an NHL club one day. So there have been a lot of people. Some of my broadcast partners, Kenny Albert, reached out to me. There's a lot. I don't want to forget anybody, but there's a lot.
And I know in your role in player development, Kendall, there's a lot of different things that you're going to be responsible for. But I'm just going to say, when I think of you, I think of skating. And mm-hmm. I'm wondering, technically, this would be easier to do if we were on video than it is over a podcast. But what are some of your philosophies about, improving a skating stride, whether it's an NHL player you're going to work with or a youth player? What are some of your real tenets that you believe in that everyone should?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I would approach the kids versus the pros in a little bit different ways, because that's why I love working with kids, because they're a block of clay and we get to mold that clay into the way we want it to go in terms of a skating stride. So there's a little bit more room to work with when they're really, really young, because they haven't really developed that stride. But when you're talking about an NHL player that's been skating the way he or she has been skating, their whole life, it's more fine-tuning things, I think. It's taking what they have. You obviously look at Connor McDavid and you can watch him skate and you can tell everyone, just do what he does. It's a lot easier said than done. But I think it's fine-tuning what these players already have, the tools that they have in their toolbox, and breaking it down and saying, okay, well, what adjustments can we make, day by day, 1% every day, what can we work on that makes a big difference, come the end of the season, come playoff time. So I think that's the way I would digest it with a pro player.
Kendall, I'm curious. I'm actually working on a piece that hopefully will come out later, well, in the next couple of days. It involves the NHL Coaches Association and a mentorship program with some female NCAA coaches and putting them together with NHL coaches and talking about various tactical elements and all those kinds of things. And when I talked to the women coaches, they said one of the things that was so important to them is just the opportunity to have a dialogue with an NHL coach. And those things, those opportunities are, they don't come along every day. And so they hope that this is something that, you know, that opens up doors further down the road. And I wonder if you feel the same way about your experiences at All-Star in San Jose, then of course in St. Louis, your broadcast work in San Jose. Do you think that's going to help you when you step into this new role, is that you have a comfort level with the NHL game and with NHL players?
I definitely do think it will help. And that's one thing I've been very, very fortunate to have is experience in the NHL in many different aspects of the league, whether it is broadcasting, media relations. As an intern, I was in 2014 after the Sochi Games before I went back to my junior year of college at Northeastern, and then from the community side of things and just the relationships that I've built, the people I've met and the experiences that I've had through those different aspects have really helped me get to this point to see how an NHL organization works, because it is completely different than what I'm used to with USA Hockey. It's completely different than my experiences when I played college hockey. There's a lot more that goes into an NHL club, whether it's working with the affiliates, working with all the different aspects within. It's so much bigger. And so it's getting to know all those different departments and the way things work. And so through the years, I've been able to see that. And so when it came to hockey operations and being the third woman with the Blackhawks, I knew there were two women ahead of me, but there's still a learning curve for me. I'm still figuring out, okay, where am I going to get my feet wet? How am I going to get my feet wet? Who can I call to ask questions? Who do I want to, work with right off the bat? There's so much that goes into it, and it's just a different beast than anything else out there in hockey.
One last thing. I know you got another interview coming here, Kendall, but I asked this of all young hires in NHL front offices, because I often get interesting answers. But as your career is going to go on here, are you looking more towards the coaching side to continue in the coaching side, or is the management side, you think, might appeal to you one day too?
I think that's the best part about this role, is I'll really be able to see both of those sides through the communication that I'll have with the coaching staff, and then in addition with management. So I'm really excited to experience that and see that and be a sponge, just like I've been, when I'm working in the broadcast world, when I was a media relations intern in 2014. So I'm really excited actually about that, because I think this is just the start of something that can be very special down the line.
Great. Kendall, it has been tremendous. I have a question before we do let you go for good. I am curious, now that you are a Blackhawks employee, can you still do the Dunkin' Donut commercials with David Pastrnak, or do you have to do Dunkin' commercials only with Blackhawks? I know, maybe Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews. I don't know. What's the deal with your commercial future now?
I don't know, but to be honest, I think the chirps only get stronger now. I hope so. I hope so.
Oh, my God.
It's a great question, though.
I got to tell you, it's one of my favorite parts of the playoffs, was seeing the Dunkin' commercials with you and David. So I hope it doesn't mean you can't keep doing them. And I'm with you. I want to see an ad lib sort of chirp fest between you and David then. So we'll see how that goes.
I would love that. And I love the commercials too, but what I loved about them was the visibility that it brought to the game equally, the men's game, the women's game. Those commercials were played a lot, but we're very thankful for our support from Dunkin' in those commercials and Pasta's support too, because they did ask him, they said, hey, we want a women's player to be in the commercial with you. Would you be interested? And he goes, 100%, let's do it. Good. So a lot of credit due to Pasta there.
Good stuff. Well, Kendall, listen, good luck to you and your new post, and I'm sure our paths will cross, well, hopefully sooner than later in a more or less normal circumstance, but congratulations on your new post with the Blackhawks, and I hope we get to do this again soon, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Pierre. Thank you for having me. I hope we get to talk again soon.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Take care. You, Kendall.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Pierre, you and I were actually shoulder to shoulder in San Jose when we were watching Kendall do that fastest skating exercise in San Jose at All-Star. I don't think any of us really had a sense of the kind of change, really, in less than 2 years. And you mentioned Cami Granato. I had a chance to chat with Emily Engel Natsky, who's the new video coach with the Hershey Bears, of course, Capitals AHL franchise. Kim Ng, the new GM of the Florida Marlins. Does it feel to you, and you have two daughters at home, so I'm guessing that you feel these things maybe a little bit more personally, or they resonate maybe a little bit more for you, but do you feel like we have come a long ways in a short period of time, or have we just come a short ways in a period of time that maybe is long overdue?
Yeah, not far enough and not quickly enough for my liking. And it's funny, you know, when I came back from San Jose that year, that's the only thing that my oldest daughter wanted to talk about was Kendall's performance and the skills. But it was also at that event, if you remember, Scotty, where, and I don't know what spurred me on, to be honest, but at Gary Bettman's State of the Union, at the end of it, I kind of threw one at him from left field, and I said, you know, why did he think that we had not had a female GM in the history of the NHL? And I don't, you know, I think his answer essentially was that he feels like they've opened as many doors as they can. But, you know, I respectfully disagreed at the time with that. And it's not to say that I believe Gary Bettman would like to see that day. But as a whole, the hockey world, I don't think enough doors have been opened for that kind of path to seem realistic. And, you know, like you mentioned, with the news out of Florida and baseball now, I think that's opened a lot of eyes. And, you know, the more people you get in the system now, you know, could Cami Granato be a future GM? Or could Kendall be a future GM? You know, Haley Wick and I. The more people you put in places to have an actual path and to have a chance to have knowledge of a front office or of NHL coaching and how the system works and making those relationships and having networks, that's the only way you start knocking on doors. And so, you know, it's a start, but it's you know, I still think hockey has a ways to go here.
Yeah, I agree with you. Although I am heartened by just how, you know, even in the short period of, you know, let's go back, you know, when Seattle started making their hockey ops hires, and, you know, I use that Seattle team because they've, you know, they really have thought outside the box in terms of, okay, you know, how are we going to build our organization? And really, you know, a lot of different voices in that group. And you're right. Maybe it is one of those things that becomes, you know, a trickle becomes a stream, which becomes a river, or whichever, you know, image you'd like to use. Mm-hmm. And it is important to have people, I think, like Kendall, who can speak so eloquently about the experience and why it's important. And, you know, Haley Wickenheiser and Cami Granato, they're all the same in that same, you know,
well,
and
who knows where it'll come from. I mean, you mentioned Seattle, you know, you go to Alexandra Mandricki, who's a director of hockey administration there. Sorry. With an analytics background, and what we were told is when Ron Francis got hired as GM, that her input on the GM hire was quite instrumental. So again, to your point about Seattle doing things differently, but you know, at some point, that's when you know you'll really have come somewhere in the NHL, is when you have your first head coach or first GM, and it doesn't, and it's not like, whoa, we didn't see that coming. No, it's like, this person deserves this. Like this person has been working for this. And that's really, I'm more interested in having enough doors open at the front end of the building so that people actually have a chance to put in the time and put in the contacts.
No, you were absolutely right. All right, my friend. Listen, I'm so excited that we're back at it, and I think of, you know, I think of you often, of course, but I always think of you around Thanksgiving, and I think about how this is almost always the great weekend in the NHL schedule, because it's such an important holiday, certainly in the United States and football, but it's also become a real benchmark in the NHL for you know, taking stock, right? I mean, how many GMs or coaches or players even who say, well, we got to see where we're at Thanksgiving and what, you know, where, you know, what changes do we need to make? Where are we vis-a-vis our expectations? All those kinds of things. And you always do a great post-Thanksgiving sort of wrap of all the games. And I'm kind of sad that we're not going to have that. But I am with you. Even though we don't have a plan yet in place for, let's call it the 2021 season, even though it won't start till 21, that I do think it's going to happen. But are you surprised that we're not there yet? That we're not talking about, yes, a 60-game schedule and these are the divisions and that kind of stuff? Are you surprised we're not there yet?
I mean, yes and no, because certainly I'll say I'm surprised from the point of view that when the Stanley Cup was awarded, that the entire 2014 Return to Play tournament was the result of incredible goodwill between the players and the owners, the PA and the league, and getting that thing off the ground. Remarkably, having the tournament play out without a single positive COVID test. Just the whole thing, the whole bubble hockey was a huge success on and off the ice, not so much ratings-wise and certainly not when it came to making actual money, but in terms of the quality of the play and the fact that, you know, it wasn't a gong show, was a pretty tremendous story. And feeding off that, you just got the sense, well, that was probably the hardest thing to do, is come out of March and April when the world shut down, and to pull this off, you know, surely they'll figure out when to play again for 2021. And here we go again. So it is surprising they've not been able to come out and announce, you know, what the season is going to look like. But here's the part that's not surprising, is we knew the last time we did our last couple of podcasts back in October that the money salary part was going to be perhaps a stumbling block. And it's still a bit bizarre to me that when they, you know, negotiated the MOU for the CBA extension in June, that they didn't seem to completely see this potential of a situation 4 months later. Or maybe the PA will argue, in fact, in my conversations with the PA, that they did, and that's why they negotiated the way they did, but that this would be an issue, that there may not be much revenue for 2021 because there won't be a lot of fans in the building, if at all, and that both sides should have known that when they did the CBA. Now, again, the players will say, well, that's why we agreed to 20% escrow and to a 10% salary deferral for 2021 as part of the MOU. You know, they're giving away 30% for 2021. That's what the PA will tell you was their vision for the difficulty that lied ahead. Of course, as we know from our reporting and a lot of other media outlets, the league, of course, over the past couple of weeks has gone to the players union and said, well, no, we need more salary deferral and even some escrow tweaks for the last 3 years of that deal for it to make financial sense right now in the cash payout for our struggling owners. Whew. So yeah, it's hit a stalemate. As I tweeted earlier this morning, and we're taping this on Wednesday morning on the eve of U.S. Thanksgiving, Gary Bettman and Don Fehr have actually gone 6 days without talking to each other, which is noteworthy because they had been in daily dialogue really the entire offseason. There had been a really good communication level there, a remnant of what had happened in the summer, right? And this situation, the league coming back and wanting to make some pretty important tweaks to a CBA they just signed 4 months ago has left the players pretty red-faced. Do I think these two sides will find a way over the next week or two? Yes, I actually still think they'll get through this, even if there's some bitter feelings, and they'll salvage some kind of 2021 season. But I'm not even sure what we're talking about is the biggest hurdle. And I'll let you take the baton here, but I think what concerns me more now is not whether the PA and the league will figure this out. I think it's more the fact that are you ready to open camp sometime in December with the rising COVID cases around North America? That would be the bigger concern to me.
Yeah. Well, and you raise I'm with you. I do think because there is no, I don't think there's an option, right? I mean, it's not like the NHL can say, well, let's get back to this in August and we'll put a cap on the 2021 season, right? I see that as a non-starter. I'm sure people are telling you the same thing. I talked to a governor who was adamant that they felt it was imperative the league play in order to fulfill TV contracts, in order to get back on schedule for 21-22 when Seattle comes in and becomes the 32nd team. But we are, the clock is really ticking now to being able to get something together. And to your point, now we've got ongoing, just the numbers continue to be staggering in the United States in terms of number of cases, number of deaths. And in Canada, which has been, to my mind, has done such a nice job. And now there are spikes all over the country. And you're right. It's not just as easy as saying, well, okay, let's play 60 games and let's start on January 10th. The players will give an extra 13% in deferral and away we go. I agree with you. I'm not sure we are at a stage now where, okay, if you're going to play, do you have to revisit a bubble model, especially in the United States? I don't know how you deal with it with a Canadian division, which seems to be a certainty. I don't know. I'm with you, Pierre. I do think that there's so much going on outside the financial end of things now that could have an impact on what this season looks like. So, let me ask it this way so you can take it back. But I got to tell you, I think the optics of this are not very good, right? I mean, you got, and again, I see the player side in this entirely. Signed the deal 5 months ago. Now the owners want more. Where we are at, and I think of the lineups for food banks across this country in the United States, I got to tell you, if there are hockey fans out there, following these kinds of negotiations and they don't have enough food to feed their families, I got to tell you, I'm not sure it resonates for a lot of sports fans to have this kind of discussion right now. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, and I alluded to that in the piece I wrote last week, that the danger for both sides here, and if you forget for a moment that, you probably have to side with the players at the outset of this dispute because they just did negotiate this. But as one owner said to me, 50% of zero is zero. the system is about 50% share of revenues. And if there's no revenues, then the inherent point being that what the league and the owners are asking is not to take more money away from the players in the big picture, but more to spread the money around down the road and not have it all come out this year, because the players would actually have larger debt payments to make otherwise, which is all true. But that's up to the players. The PA will tell you they thought that this year would be hard, and that's why they, like I said, negotiated a 30% tax, 20 plus 10. At the end of the day, I think the players probably, for the betterment of the game and to salvage a season, I think he just swallow hard and defer a bit more money, because remember, when you defer, you still get it. It just means you're not getting it right away. I wouldn't defer to the amount that the league asked for. I would argue that you can do a bit less than that, but I do think at the end of the day that's probably the play to salvage all this. But you're right. I mean, I mentioned last week, baseball took a pounding last spring for the way it just couldn't get its house in order until the final moment, in terms of the players and owners and the way that looked when people were panicking about the pandemic. first of all, hockey always has less leeway than the other sports because, you know, we're you know, our sport is always trying to fight its way into the American sphere, and it really can't afford to be the one sport that can't figure out how to come back this time around, right? Exactly. You just can't do that. So it's why I think, you know, they'll figure this out. And there's still time. Like, yes, I think it should have been done by the end of this week, but now with the holiday, I think if they can figure something out by next Tuesday or Wednesday, that's still December 2nd, December 3rd. It's, you know, give yourself a two-week window before camps open, 15th or 16th, and off you go. If you think you can actually have puck dropped, you know, in early January, the COVID numbers and the different health jurisdictions around North America may suggest otherwise. But in terms of the players and the league getting over this financial squabble, I do think that there's a path there to figure this out, you know, by early to mid next week, perhaps.
Yeah, and I'm with you. And listen, as bad as things are on both sides of the border, I mean, there certainly is optimistic news about a vaccine and about its efficacy and the ability to get it out to, you know, firstly, frontline workers. And so, it does feel to me that if we can get this, if we can get things going, and if we can get through the next, you know, whatever it is, month or 6 weeks or 2 months, we might be nearing the end of the tunnel. But boy, it would be nice if 21 had a different narrative to it, my friend. And
just to put a final point on that, unless I'm misunderstanding when I'm reading about the different vaccines, I don't think it's going to impact this season either way. Like, I think we're talking about trying to get the world back to normal in time for the next NHL season, 21-22. By the time the entire North American population has access to it, is what I mean.
Right, yeah. Right. I do think that in certainly some of the projections, we're talking, you know, springtime. But you're right. And obviously that is, you know, big picture, if we could all be talking about normalcy by, the summer of 21 heading into the fall of 21, that would be pretty outstanding. So, all right, I've enjoyed your writing. You've had some amazing pieces the last couple of weeks.
Don't lie.
Very very insightful. I loved your piece on Brent Seabrook, very thoughtful piece, and who knew what he was going through in his life. I enjoyed your piece on taking a look at the potential playoff scenarios if we end up with the four divisions, three in the States, one in Canada. Let me ask you this question. I was a little bit surprised, and I talked to some owners who echoed exactly what you said. Almost zero appetite for playoff expansion. And I was a little bit surprised by that, especially after, you know, I thought there was a lot of drama with the play-in rounds before we got going in early August. Were you surprised by that? Or does this go back to the fact that Gary Bettman is really, he's very consistent, doesn't like an expanded format, really.
He definitely wants 16 teams in the playoffs, and that was confirmed to me by a number of sources again this week. That doesn't mean that he's the only voice in the room, but all signs point to only 16 teams making the playoffs this year. And so, obviously, the easiest thing to do is four divisions, and four teams from each division make it. And as I investigated the different options, you know, I had one governor who said he would love the 1-16 format, like the early 80s.
Yeah, that's right.
Just for this year only, because he felt some divisions would be more loaded than others, and the 1-16, 2-15 playoff format would even out the fact that the road to the playoffs may not be totally fair, depending which division you're in. And I get that, but given the money already lost and the money that's going to be lost, even staging a season with very, very few fans in the buildings, adding travel costs to the playoff format is not going to win the room. So I don't think you'll see that one happening. And then I looked at the conference playoffs, which was, you know, more or less what we've had the last 20 plus years, although the current version is a divisional /wild card /I don't know what you want to call it. Everyone hates the current playoff thing. But the conference doesn't work for no other reason than who do you match up with the Canadian division? So it really comes down to what other option is there other than divisional playoffs? And one of the, as a number of executives told me Monday for this piece, one of the real benefits, the obvious benefit, the benefit that seems to rule the moment right now when you think about it, is that if you go divisional playoffs, it means that the Canadian teams play each other in the first two rounds of the playoffs. You get all the way to the Final Four before dealing with the border.
Right.
And that's really what I think is going to appease both the league and the PA as they iron these details out. Now, it's not decided for sure. It's still to be determined. Sources on both sides reminded me. But I just don't know where else you go if there's still uncertainty with the border. And I think there will be. I mean, with the cases on both sides of the border right now skyrocketing, I don't know why we think the border would be relaxed anytime before May or June.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree entirely. And it does seem to make the most sense just to proceed on that. Listen, it seems a given Canadian division, and then keep playing as long as you can without having to confront the border issue, then it just makes it easier to schedule. And
right. And then the winner of the Canadian division, you know, if the border is still an issue and players would still have to quarantine 14 days upon entering either country, then I think what you have to do is the Canadian team, like I wrote on my piece, do you come up with a neutral site for the Final Four?
Right.
So that you're not crossing back and forth. At that point, you're going somewhere, likely in the States, and then you're saying, here's where the rest of the playoffs are going to play out. Or at least the third round, and then maybe when you get to the Cup Final, you can travel back and forth if it's two USC. We'll see.
Yeah. Before we close this edition of Two Man Advantage, a tip of the hat to Johnny Boychuk, a rock-solid defender, announced today an eye injury will prevent him from continuing his playing career as an NHL player. I think of Johnny Boychuk in some ways, to me, Pierre, he personifies that Boston Bruins identity when they won the Stanley Cup in 2011. Just hard as nails, right? He just a relentless player and always a smile on his face in that locker room, and made a tremendous impact when he went to the Islanders. He started there in 14-15. And it's, you know, just sad. And I know it was an emotional day for him and for the Islanders when he announced that he wasn't going to be able to play again. But good on Johnny Boychuk. And so we tip a cap to him.
Yeah, you know, the reaction on social media to his announcement tells you a lot, from his current teammates, his former teams. Obviously a really well-liked player. Interesting, though, as a technicality, though, it doesn't matter, because obviously he's saying he's never going to play again, but he's not officially retiring, I guess.
Right, exactly.
For all kinds of, you know, reasons, paperwork reasons, which may end up helping the Islanders. First of all, means he can still get paid, but also I think the Islanders will be able to LTIR him. But none of that stuff matters on a day when you have a player saying he's not going to play again. And and it's interesting. I was wondering, after Matt Niskanen surprised everyone with his retirement from the Flyers, Scotty, if we have more veterans through the pandemic say the same. Say, you know what? I probably only have a year or two left, and I don't want to deal with this crap. So I'm done. I want to stay home with my family. But we really haven't, other than obviously for a medical reason, Johnny Boychuk today.
It is fascinating. I mean, hey, it's an emotional day for Johnny Boychuk and his team. But it does create some interesting possibilities for the Islanders in terms of their roster. Here's hoping we get to a point where they have to get a roster ready to play.
Well, don't forget they got a young Mr. Barzal to sign at some point. So that's probably priority number one, I would say. And there has been a number of conversations on that front, I can tell you, between both sides. But we'll see. You know, I think when it comes to those big deals, everyone in the NHL wants to see if we're playing hockey again for sure before you proceed with all that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, my friend. Well, I hope next time we chat, there will be more concrete NHL news to discuss. But it has been a terrific chance to catch up with you. Great to chat earlier with Kendall. Let's see what else we got going on here. NHL coaches agent Neil Glassberg joins Jeff Patterson and Thomas Drance on a new episode of the VanCast this week at The Athletic. Those guys are tireless, the Vancouver guys, by the way. They never quit. And you should check out our comments section for each podcast episode at The Athletic app and rate and subscribe to Two Man Advantage on Apple. My friend, enjoy the American Thanksgiving and stay safe and healthy, my friend. Always great to catch up.
Go Cowboys!